Hi, I'm Faith, and welcome to another episode of Redefined, where I take a word, a phrase, a concept, etc., and then I redefine it based on my personal opinion and my personal experiences. And we're actually kind of riffing today. We're usually riffing. I improv a lot on this podcast. I don't usually plan things out too much in advance, but I think that going in completely empty-headed is going to help us really get an authentic feel for what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling today. I am leaning towards talking more about happiness and depression, though, because I feel like for a lot of people, they have this sort of idea of what depression looks like in their mind, especially when they're not familiar with people masking it. And it's really interesting because I deal with that regularly and I also see it regularly. So it's really interesting to see how some people assume that if somebody's not constantly, you know, tearing themselves down in front of you or constantly having breakdowns in front of you or constantly having panic attacks, they're not suffering with that or going through that, the motions of that mental illness. That is not true at all. Because I have been trying to do a much better job of keeping things to myself. Not that I wasn't keeping them myself before. I kept things to myself a bit too much in middle school, but trying not to make everything a thing, sort of, at this point in my life. And I think that for some people, it's just, oh my God, you're cured. They're cured. You must be absolutely fantastic now that you are not constantly complaining about something or constantly crying at random for no reason. Because I still am doing those things, just not in front of you. And one thing for me that I think has made me so cognizant of it is not just my own experiences, but family members' experiences. Because growing up, my parents got divorced, and then we had to sort of move and go through a very rough time, especially on my mom, because now she's a single mom, and she has to take care of all these kids, and there's all these expenses, and now her life is just in a completely different state than what she had originally been in and what she had planned for it to be in. And I just remember always thinking, wow, she's so happy. She's so well put together. How does she do it? As a kid, I thought my mom was this superhero figure, sort of. And I think it really stuck out to me. I think about this to this day. There was this one day she just broke down, just started crying. And there was just so much stress and pressure on her. And she was really feeling the weight of it on her shoulders and how none of us understood what she was going through because none of us ever saw. And, you know, for me, it was always really crazy thinking about that, and it still is, because, again, even to this day, I struggle with putting my mom on a pedestal and seeing her as this superhero figure, even though I'm older now and I know how much she's going through, and she's a lot more open about how much more she's going through now, because she doesn't necessarily feel the need to put on this brave face for us. She still is very, I think, collected and good at keeping herself on track and in check, and she's also in a much better mental place than she was before, so I think that changes a lot. But it also really is interesting now, knowing that I never hold myself to the same standard as my mom, and we struggle with a lot of the same things. And I think for a lot of people, what the issue is that you don't know until you see it. And so seeing my mom break down, it was insane for me, because I'm thinking to myself, whoa, what is going on? She's never acted like this. Something really bad must have happened. And that wasn't even it. It's just always been that way. I've just never seen it that way. And I think that for a lot of people around me who don't struggle with their mental health, I'm sort of that same level. Everything's fine until it's not fine. And last week, I think, I had back-to-back panic attacks during my color guard rehearsal, and it was really, really bad. And my mental health has been really, really bad for a while, but I'm trying to sort of get it in check and get myself in check and get my life together, because I've been doing and saying a lot of things that I shouldn't have been, and also just going through a lot generally in every area of my life, especially as a senior. And I think that, you know, it's never really gone either. Because, again, you know, if somebody's always happy all the time, if somebody is joking around a lot, or it seems like they're trying to get themselves together, they must be cured. Everything's going great. They're on track to recovery. But the thing is, recovery is not only nonlinear, but for a lot of people that struggle with their mental health, it's going to take more time than you think it is. And I've struggled with my mental health for a really, really long time. And I think that for many people, they're assuming that, especially if they have a partner or a family member or a friend who struggles with their mental health, they just think, okay, they'll be in therapy and then they'll be out. But the thing is, it's more than that. And there's people who don't have access to therapy. There's people who don't have access to the right resources. And even those who do aren't necessarily going to be able to undo the way their brain thinks or the things they experienced just by going and then stopping. It's usually this thing that is long-term and reoccurring, and you're going to have to go through it for a very long time, if not forever. And I think that it's really interesting that a lot of people don't understand that, because I've always kind of wondered what it's like to have a brain that is just quiet all the time, or, you know, you have your regular thoughts. I know everybody thinks differently and their thoughts come to them in different ways, but I make a lot of jokes about the voices that are in my head, and I think it's really funny because I'm only partially joking. I do hear a lot going on in my head. I hear a lot of self-deprecation. I hear a lot of self-doubt. I hear a lot of things trying to cut me down, and then I hear the things speaking over it that are saying, you're being too cocky, which is amazing, because I'm usually not cocky at all. I'm quite self-critical, but my brain doesn't really allow me to decipher and figure out what is and isn't real, and what's true, and what is detrimental to how I'm thinking about myself, and what is pushing me to be better. And I think that so many people probably go through that, but I'm not sure if they go through that to the extent that I do, because it is debilitating. There are times where I can't do anything because my brain is so loud and I can't focus on anything, and all I can think about are those things, and it's just all encompassing. I'm not able to think about anything else. My attention, it's just encapsulated. You know, I'm enraptured by those things that are happening in my head. I can't escape them, which sounds so crazy. It sounds like a horror movie plot, to be honest with you, but that is literally just my life. And, you know, I've, especially since, I want to say, 7th grade, when I found out what Spotify is, ever since then, I have been the kind of person that usually always has to have music on or be watching TV or have something running to occupy me. And, you know, escapism isn't the healthiest form of therapy, but it's what we've got at the moment. And so I kind of don't know what it's like to have that sort of peace and quiet, because if it's not those things distracting me or those things that I'm indulging in and consuming, I am going to be having those very loud, very uncomfortable thoughts. And it goes even deeper than all the things I mentioned, too. There's so many different things playing at me and sort of going on in my mind all at one time. And it's honestly, I'd say rather impressive that my brain can sustain that many things and I have this many things wrong with me. It's really funny, actually. But for a lot of people, their advice is sort of go to therapy and you'll be fine. And I'm not in a position to go right now, but I wish I were. And even if I were, though, the thing is, that's, I know myself and I know what's going on in my life. It's definitely going to take more than 2 months, 6 months, a year for me to sort of self-regulate. And even if I am self-regulating, I know that if I just drop it cold turkey, I will fall back into the things that I only know how to do and the things that make me worse. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people don't see it that way. They don't understand the process of having to live with this many things going on in your brain and then also trying to figure out how to contain that, control that, and, I don't know, get rid of it. But the thing is, it's not really something you can get rid of, especially if you're somebody whose mental health issues are inherited, if they're a genetic thing, because that's it. It's literally in your blood. There's not much you can do but seek help for it. And if you're unable to get help, good luck. And a lot of people just don't see it that way. And I've always wanted to be the kind of person that advocates for more knowledge about that while also acknowledging how lucky I am to be able to do that while also being the target demographic, because I'm the person that is struggling with these things. So I don't know. I think that depression and anxiety and mental illness in general is not something that can be defined with one word or definition, and healing from it can also not be defined in a sentence or a paragraph or a novel. It is something that is unique to each individual person, unique to each individual person with different experiences, different trauma levels, different disorders, different conditions, experiences, etc., with different support systems around them, with different therapists. Every person has their own definition of what that is. What people who don't experience those things have to understand and how they should define it is just, you know, it's something to know about. You have to go out of your own way to educate yourself on it. And then based on whoever in your life is experiencing that, you have to figure out what that specific person needs for their specific situation and also their sort of specific, I guess, coping mechanisms and ways of healing. So, yeah, I think that's all we're going to yap about today, because that came out of nowhere, actually. I'm really impressed that I was able to do that without looking at my phone, without any notes, you know. I am an improv beast, to be honest with you. I'm also severely mentally ill, which is why we're recording this episode. But thank you so much for listening. I'm Faith, and this is another episode of Redefined. See you next week.